Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thanks, guys. So, I'm a bit of a hand talker. I find holding mics difficult. But here goes. About a month ago, Roxanne, my beautiful wife, and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. We spent the weekend away in Brisbane without any children, which is not something we do a whole lot. We just enjoyed being together. We walked around the city. We covered about 20 kilometres on the Saturday. And we just talked. We talked about our past. We talked about our present, what's everything that's going on. And we talked about our plans for the future. And it's been a couple of years since we did something like that. But I think I could definitely speak for both of us when I say that we both feel closer together because of sharing, that time of sharing and just being together and really focusing on each other and nothing else. It's not like as a married couple we were drifting apart. I don't think so. But life is busy. You know, I can ask anyone here and you're going to tell me how busy your life is. And you just find yourself walking down slightly different paths if you're not careful in your marriage. And you need to be active in your marriage, making sure that you come together. So we came back from a few nights away in Brisbane feeling refreshed. And as we came back on the plane, we talked about how we really need to not leave it for as long before we do that again, because it is good for us to get away. So I would encourage you, if you're married, to take the time, find someone to look after your kids, and go and spend some time with your partner, with your husband, with your wife. Yeah? Shut that busyness of life out for a couple of days. All the work you've got is still going to be there on Monday. And spend some quality time with your husband and wife, talking, getting back in love with each other, and enjoying each other's company. Get to know them again, fall in love with them. Remember what it was like when it was just the two of you and your love was all that mattered. It's like how our relationship with God should be. One where we're walking together, desiring to spend more time in each other's presence. Just being together. Because it's in His presence. It's everywhere that His personal and unconditional love is for us. Going back to the beginning has been a bit of a theme for me this year. God started calling me to come back to my first love again at the start of the year. So it's been a journey. And as I've sought God through this, I've been reminded of times throughout my life when His love has been poured out for me. Right from when I was a young child up to last year. This peaked a few Tuesdays ago. Some of you may know that there was a Southwest Leadership Evening on that was held at Equip Church a few weeks ago. And in the middle of worship, God was clearly there. It was even more so than He was here this morning. I was just overwhelmed by His love and His presence, and all I could do was stand there with my arms stretched out and just cry. It's in those moments that I was swept up and nothing else mattered. I was crying, it was messy, and I just didn't care. I was just so focused on Him, on enjoying that feeling of being enveloped in His love. This is not the first time that I've met God in such a way. And this whole thing of going back to my first love, God has reminded me of this again, preparing for today. The first time God met me like that, I was about 13 years old. I was at a Baptist Easter youth camp with about 350 other kids. And every time I think about it, even now, it's like I can see it in front of me. I can see what happened. Our auditorium was a big basketball court, and it was set up and we were doing chapel in there. And one night, could have been Saturday night, could have been Sunday night, I'm not sure. God just moved powerfully. And it ended up with a group of us on the ground crying in his presence. And being the sort of camp it was, being a Baptist camp, there were quite a few people who weren't quite sure what was going on. And they weren't sure what to do. And so as this move of God really happened towards the end of the service, and it was the evening, a lot of people just left. And so there was this group of us left in the auditorium just doing business with God. And it was amazing. And since that night, there have been many occasions and many different reasons why God has taken me back there, taken me to that place of just total surrender, and reminded me that He is love and that His love is all-consuming. God's love for each of us is like this. He wants to wrap us up in His love every moment of every day of our lives if we will let Him. The Bible talks about God's love for us in Romans. And in Romans 8:31 to 39, it says, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? No one. For God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for each of us. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger? Or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the fears for our today nor our worries about tomorrow. Nor even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Amen. And so today, I just want to talk about God's love for us. God promised His love would never end, and that He would always be with us. You can be certain that wherever you go, you can be certain of that, sorry, wherever you go and whatever you do, He will be there with you. Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 says, "And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." He will... Do not fear, nor be dismayed. And just in case you want something a little newer than Deuteronomy, for those people who prefer the New Testament, Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus said to His disciples, "All authority has been given to Me on heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Scripture relating to God being with us and always supporting us can be found throughout the Bible. You can look up almost any book in the Bible and you will find God there with His people, supporting them. You will see His faithfulness recorded for us to read, and not just to read, but to be encouraged by. Because that is the whole purpose of the Bible, is to encourage us, to draw us closer to Him. Yeah. I personally have a few favorites. I like the stories of Noah, Moses, Daniel, Esther, David, and Paul. And when I need encouragement, those are the sorts of books and stories that I go and look up. Another great example of for God's love for us is found that's found in the Bible. It's actually something that was shared in our fivefold meeting on Thursday night. And I'd already planned to say it, so it was God's way of confirming for me that I was on the right track, which was great. And that is the story of the prodigal son, which is found in Luke 15. Now, I'm not going to read it because there's a lot of scripture. The story is of a father who had two sons. However, like a lot of youth in every generation, one of his sons wanted to live his best life with his inheritance while his father was still alive. Which, if you think about that, is essentially saying that the kid wished his dad was dead. Right? And that's not very good at all. But the dad, because he loved his son so much, got hold of the kid's inheritance and gave him the money. That child then promptly left home and wasted everything he had on worldly living. He ended up broke. He ended up starving. He ended up out in the street because all the people that were with him when he had money and when he had influence all of a sudden left him when he had nothing. It wasn't until he took a job feeding the pigs just so he could have access to the scraps that he eventually came to his senses. He was with those pigs when he remembered that even the servants in his father's family were treated better than he was living. It was a realization that made him get up and start the trek home. Because in desperation, he decided that being at home, maybe his dad would take him back on as a servant. Maybe he would have at least some semblance of a life. However, when he was still a long way off, his dad, who had been looking for him each and every day, looking for him in the hope that he would return, saw him and ran to him. He embraced him and welcomed him back, not as a servant, but he welcomed him back as a son. And instead of punishing or shunning that wayward son, the father forgave him. The father restored him. The father celebrated his return with a feast, just like Jesus celebrates each and every single one of us when we turn our hearts to him. You know, it says in the Bible that each time someone makes a decision for Christ, that there is a party in heaven. Yeah. I really like this story because I know firsthand that I have been a prodigal at times in my life. When I have ignored God and walked my own path. And that's not saying that I've denied God and gone down in some terrible path. That is just me saying that I know that I have backslidden at times. And I have ended up in terrible situations nonetheless. This is why the story of the prodigal son gives me hope. Because I have been in that proverbial mud with the pigs. And when I have come to my senses and called out Jesus to save me, he has been there waiting for me to turn back to him, waiting to restore me as a child of God, waiting to shower me with his love and invite me back into his presence. Now, most, if not everyone in this room today, has probably walked away from God to some extent at some point in their life, whether that was before they became a Christian and they didn't know any better, or afterward, as some of us have. And the result is the same for all of us. God, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and our Savior, has kept watch for you, willing you to come home, hoping that one day soon he can restore you. He can shower you with his love. He can put his robe on you and a ring on your finger and call you a child of God again. Yes. What, me? Walk away from God, you might be thinking? Surely not. I know my comment sounds like a big claim, but then I also read my Bible and I come to the story of Peter, a man who was one of Jesus' disciples, who lived with Jesus for 3 years, who walked with Jesus, who got to actually physically talk to Jesus and be in his presence. And he backslid. But he finished his life as a good and faithful servant. We had Jesus telling Peter before he backslid that he was going to betray him. And Jesus denied it. Who? Me? Never, Lord, he said. And then, not long afterwards, we read of his 3 betrayals. We read of the anguish that followed, that Jesus, how that Peter went through after he walked away from Jesus. I read that story and I wonder if I would have fared any better than Peter did, while already knowing that the answer would be no. But that was not the end of Peter's story, because Jesus met Peter on a beach a short while later. He met him on the beach and they had fish for breakfast, didn't they, Levi? And like each of us, Peter was saved. He was restored by Jesus. He was set free, not through his own actions. He was set through by coming back to the Savior, by repenting, and by being restored through Jesus' love for him. Yes. Jesus' love for Peter is that same love that he has for each of us. Yes. It is a love that accepts us for who we are, while at the same time offering to change you to the best version of yourself. But like any change, God does not promise that it will be easy. But he does promise that he will be with you through it. And he also promises that the change will be worth it. Take Paul, for example. Jesus called Paul when he was still persecuting Christians. Doesn't get much worse than that, really. And Paul ended up blind because of his encounter with God. Physically blind. He was already spiritually blind, but he ended up physically blind because of it. So what did God do? God arranged a restoration. He arranged a Christian who was terrified for his life to go and pray for Paul. And it was only after Paul was physically restored by God that he realized the error of his ways. He repented, and God spiritually restored him. And he went on to be the great Paul that we read about in the Bible. The problem with change is that everyone says they want to do it, but do they really? The other problem with change is that the world and the devil would really prefer it if you just stayed as you are. In this age that we live in, more than any other age, the world and the devil have many comforts, many distractions to convince you that you are good as you are. You're busy at work. You're studying. There's lots of things going on in your family. They are all good reasons, but are they God reasons to not change? Right? You don't need to take my word for it either. Try reading the Bible in a year and see how many other priorities and distractions appear. Try fasting and see how many dinner invites you receive from people that haven't talked to you in so long. Or as I have experienced while preparing to share this message today on God's love, see how many things make you feel less like sharing about God's love and more about bringing a message on fire and brimstone. So does love matter in this day and age? Or is it an old and outdated concept? The answer to that question is an easy answer for me. Love matters. And is as current today as it was when Adam was a boy. There are many scriptures in the Bible that talk about the importance of love. But a simple scripture that sums it up well is 1 Corinthians 3:13, which says, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Because without love, what are you having faith and hope in? The fact that the scripture says only love will last forever not only means that it will last from now until the end of time, but that it has also existed since the beginning of time until now. I've just lost where I was up to. Sorry. We know this is true because we know that all things were created. All things that were created through Him. Him who was love. And that confirms that love is eternal because He was and He is and He will be. Additionally, love is generally considered an active concept. It is not a passive sit back on your couch and say to everyone that you love them from afar. Love requires a conscious effort, an action, a cultivation, rather than a passive emotion or feeling. It is something that takes effort. It is something we create. It is something we build. It is something we nurture. If you've married, you know what I mean. It takes time. And even when you fall in love and you get married, on that day of your wedding, you think you couldn't love this person anymore. And then you spend time with them. And after 25 years, you know that that was only the beginning. 1 John 3:18 highlights that love requires action. It says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Another verse that talks about this is Ephesians 4:2, which says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. So choosing love is not a passive feeling that just happens to you. It is an active decision. It is a conscious decision that you have made. Deuteronomy 30 verse 20 says, you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key of life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Love is also about giving and serving others, not just receiving from God. This can be seen throughout Jesus' ministry, where even unto death He served others. Even just before going on the cross, He sought out the disciple that He loved and gave him charge over Mary, His own mother. Love is not just a feeling or emotion, again, it is an action. God has demonstrated through His unending love for us that love is also timeless, an active force that requires our commitment, effort, and selflessness. God demonstrated that love for us in many ways, depending on how He knows that you need to receive love in each particular situation of your lives. He may show you His love the same way on multiple occasions, but He knows that at times you will be going through situations where He needs to show you that love differently. And He is there, and He will show you that love if you look for Him. One way that God has shown His love for me on several occasions is through music. There are a few songs that I've heard throughout my life that the first time I've heard them is at a time that only God could have organized. Because, you know, like the example I can give is that the most recent time I was driving. I was going through some stuff. I was pouring my heart out to God. And the last thing I expected was God to actually answer me, mind you. But that's what he did. I had the radio on. I didn't even have, you know, a Spotify Christian playlist on. I had the radio on. And the song that started playing as I finished praying was a song that perfectly answered the question that I'd been talking to God about. There were a lot of negative things going on in my life at that point in time that I had bottled up and no one else knew that I was going through. But God was there. It was only a short drive too. It was from the train station back to my house, which is only about a 5 or 6 minute drive. So God's timing, as always, was perfect. The song was by a Christian band named Unspoken, who I'd actually never heard of before then. And so I had to Google it afterwards and see if it was a Christian band or not, because I was listening to the radio. But the lyrics were exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. I'm not going to share the whole song, but I really, and I'm definitely not going to sing any of it. my name's not David Fuentes, sorry. But I did felt to share some of it with you today. And so the third verse in the chorus goes like this. And if the hands that gave you a heartbeat are the same hands that painted the stars, then child of the one true God, tell me, how could you not believe with all your heart that you are loved, chosen? Long before the day you were born, you are held, forgiven, treasured more than you'll ever know. When the lies get loud, let the truth ring out, till the only thing you're listening to is what he says about you. So, yeah. So now you know that God talks to me through music and has done a few times. And that's my little thing with God. He spoke to the Levites, to the judges, to the kings, to the prophets, and to disciples, all in different ways. So don't expect him to pour out his love for you the same way that he pours out his love even for your husband or wife. You have your own special journey with him, and he wants to meet you where you're at. He knows what will work for you. He knows where you're at. His love is personal. His love is intentional, and it is ever-present. He knows you intimately, probably better than each of us know ourselves, to be truthful. And he speaks to you, and he will speak to you in a way that will resonate deeply with your heart. Whether this is through scripture, through prayer, through worship, it might be the kindness of someone coming and giving you a gift. It could also be in the beauty of creation. I know personally something I love doing is playing golf, and it's not for the golf, believe me. It's for being able to walk and enjoy God's creation, because I spend so much of my life in a building surrounded by concrete. So for me, it's an escape. He knows us so intimately that he knows what will resonate with you. His love is always, and not just 9 to 5, and not just every minute of every day, but it's every millisecond, every moment of every day. His love is reaching out for you. I encourage you to open yourself up to listening for his voice. And when you're listening for his voice, that means being silent. We can talk as much as we want. Are we willing to stop, and are we willing to listen for him and his word to us? Let's embrace the fullness of his love and be a vessel of that love to those around you. Let his love not only transform you, but flow through you and flow out of you so that others may see and experience his goodness. And now as I finish, I just invite the band to come back up. I just want to leave you with a few final thoughts to consider. Something you can talk to God about. Something that is not being asked to condemn. It's being asked to encourage. Being asked to encourage you to seek Him more. The first question is, how has God talked to you and shown you His love in the past? If you're not sure, maybe it's time to stop and to seek God.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.